It's good to open God's Word together again, and we're continuing in the learn section of our 2020 vision. When we say learn, we mean that we study, preach, and teach the Bible to understand and obey God's Word. That's an important core value here at Thompson Road. And we've talked about learning for church growth, learning for sound doctrine. Last week, learning for new behavior, and this morning, we talk about the idea of learn for faithfulness. So important that as stewards, we should be found faithful. A couple of years ago, Sarah's my alma mater made a new Facebook group for alumni of Maranatha Baptist University and invited alumni to post on the page a picture of their family, the year they graduated, and what they're up to now. So really neat to see where others have gone in family and ministry and other vocations. But one couple posted their picture, and someone we knew, and by the man's garb, we could tell that he was no longer Baptist, that he had joined another denomination. And in his description of where he was at in life, he mentioned that he had been drawn to another denomination because of the beauty and the formality of their liturgy. And maybe you know some people that way who were taught as you were taught, or who grew up in church, or even in a home where God's Word is valued and taught, and yet they have gone another way. They have, as the Bible said, made shipwreck or been cast away. If you don't know someone like that, they're on the news, and you can watch big-name people in ministry who turn aside from the faith. This past week, it was the leader of some music group that declared himself an atheist. And we can ask, how does this happen to people who know the truth? And Sarah and I asked, how can this guy who sat two desks away from me in the same seminary classes and learned God's Word and learned the interpretation methods and how to study and understand God's Word so that we can obey it, go aside to something else that is not taught in Scripture? And the answer is that we can learn and yet stay unfaithful. And so we have to learn for faithfulness. A big part of it is the motivation, the spirit we come to that learning with, and that's going to go a long way toward determining the result of when we learn. Come with me, if you would, to the second epistle to Timothy. We started in 2 Timothy in this Learn series at the beginning of the month. We'll finish this series today, continue a little bit in the evening service, and then move on to the Connect phase. Eager to explore that topic as we have seen the importance of that as we begin to reconnect here as a church. But we started in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where we saw that chain of learning in 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul says, "The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So Paul received his gospel from the Lord. Paul, as an apostle, passed that along to Timothy, who was a pastor evangelist, who was commissioned to teach faithful men who would be able to continue that by teaching others also. Important verse down in verse 15, where the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's why we learn God's word, so that we can be approved to God, so that we can handle Scripture knowledgeably, accurately, in a way that honors Him. Skip down to verses 24 through 26, where our main text is going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. But there through chapter 2, Paul is going to warn about the false teachers and errant doctrines that Timothy is going to be up against, and encourages him to stay strong for the faith, to learn for faithfulness. And in verse 24, he says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." As we learn for retention, but remember, we learn for extension too, so that we can help others, so we can continue that chain of learning and reach others also. Some of those others are going to be false teachers. All of those others are going to be people who hold views that are not biblical. So we want to help them to see the truth. We want to help them learn what we have learned. But it's important that we do that in a spirit, verse 24, of gentleness. be gentle to all men. It's the same character trait that Paul was exhorting the Ephesians to do when he said, speak the truth in love, that we ought to stand for truth. But we have to remember that people aren't typically won to the Lord through shouting matches. People aren't usually convinced to become disciples of Christ because of your public argument on Facebook. We ought to dialogue. We ought to exchange. But we do it in a spirit of gentleness, in a spirit of meekness, verse 25, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive of him at his will. Remember those people that Ephesians 4 calls the Gentiles who live with darkened understandings and vain thinking and ways that are alienated from God and hard hearts. They're in the snare of the devil. But isn't it encouraging that Paul says some of those, as we relate the truth to them, will, if God peradventure, they will come to repentance and acknowledging the truth. That's verse 25, that some will accept the truth as we share it faithfully. What an encouragement. But Paul also wants Timothy to know and believers today to know that that's not always going to be the case. In fact, sadly, the majority of the time, as we share the truth, it will be rejected, and more as time goes on. And that's what he'll outline here at the starting of chapter 3. Read along in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And we can relate to what Paul writes in verses 2 and following, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, a word that means they have no self-control, fierce, we could use the word brutal, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, or the idea there is people who are reckless, high-minded, or big-headed, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. We have a description here of people who have exposure to the truth, but continue in sin. They learn, but not for faithfulness. So as we seek to learn for faithfulness this morning and week after week, it's important that we recognize, number one, that some love self and they learn but stay unfaithful. It's possible to learn God's word but stay unfaithful. That's verse 7, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You could learn doctrine but still not be faithful. And it goes back to the motivation. These are people who learn not for God's glory, not to reach others. They learn because they love self. They're looking not to be corrected by God's word, but to be affirmed by God's word. Not to be shaped by God's word, but to be empowered for their own purposes. And so verse 2 says they're lovers of their own selves. Verse 4 ends by saying they're lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Ever learning, never able to come to knowledge. There's a danger for us as believers. As we talk about those that have turned aside and see them on the news and hear about them and see them on social media and think how sad that is, yet there you or I will go but for the grace of God. And so it's important that we always learn for faithfulness. If we learn with a love of self, we can learn and yet be unfaithful. This is how verse 8 Jannes and Jambres were. You may not be familiar with these guys. Their names aren't mentioned elsewhere in Scripture, but from extra-biblical writings, we know that these are the names of the magicians that opposed Moses with the plagues in Pharaoh's court. Remember when Moses' rod turned to a snake and the magician's rods did the same thing? And some of the other plagues that the magicians appeared to be able to duplicate, and there was this cosmic divine battle going on between the true God and the small g gods of Egypt. And for a while, these magicians really looked like they had true power, they had true knowledge, because they too had learned. But verse 9 says, "They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, even as theirs was also." Eventually, those magicians looked quite foolish when they too fell victim to the boils and the other plagues, when they could no longer duplicate any measure of what God was doing through Moses. Their foolishness was made known. Someday, the foolishness of false teachers and the foolishness of those who turn aside from the faith for something that is more earthly gratifying will be exposed as folly. Some love self and learn and stay unfaithful. But we want to be different. Paul will say, I'm convinced better things of you. Or like he said in Ephesians 4, you have not so learned Christ. We're expected to be different. So we're encouraged that some deny self, learn, and become faithful. That if we learn with the right motivation, if we learn with a spirit of self-denial and God exaltation rather than denying God and exalting self, that our learning can lead to faithfulness. And so that is where he turns his focus in verses 10 and following, as he's convinced Timothy will not be this type of person who will learn for selfish ambition, but will learn for God's magnification. Verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, where he'd been stoned and left for dead, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." That's a description of false teachers. They're deceiving others, and sometimes it's because they genuinely believe they have the truth. They are deceiving and being deceived because of hard hearts that come from selfish motivations for learning. Well, Paul wants Timothy to have a healthy view of what it's going to be like to live faithfully. And we, as 21st century believers, in a culture that's turning from God, and in many respects has turned from God, have to know and brace for what it's going to be like to live faithfully. It's not a bed of roses. We know what Paul went through, and he says, all that live godly will suffer persecution. So as we learn for faithfulness, we embrace the fact, we expect the fact that it won't always be easy. And when we're ready for that, we'll be less likely to turn away. Some are like the thorny ground that Jesus talked about, that receive the seed and quickly sprout up and seem on fire for God, but when the cares of this world come, they're choked out and bear no fruit. We can be that way if we think, hey, as soon as I am a Christian, when I start being faithful to God, that he's going to make me healthy and wealthy and I'll have comfort and everything will be fine. But the truth is, all who live godly will suffer persecution. At many times, it's going to be very difficult to follow God. It's worth it, but be aware that it's going to be difficult. Not only do we expect difficulties, we have to examine our sources. Where do we get our knowledge from? If we want to make sure we're right and that we're standing for the truth, that we're learning not for self-gratification but for faithfulness, we have to examine our sources. Where are we learning our knowledge from? Verse 14, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." See, the learning is so important. It's going to be what helps Timothy to continue in faithfulness, what he has learned. If you're not here, if you're not opening God's word, and if you haven't learned, you won't be able to continue in the things that you have learned. So learning is so important. And as we learn, not to let it stay in our heads, but let it transfer to our hearts and come out through our lives so that we would continue in the things we have learned. When we talk about examining our sources, he says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Remember who you learned this from, Timothy, and that from a child, verse 15, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ, through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Timothy, remember who you learned these things from. You didn't just hear about it somewhere. It's not just some wind of doctrine. It's not somebody's pitch that they had developed and you bought into. Remember who you learned it from. You know who Timothy learned truth from? Well, you can look back at chapter 1 and verse 5 where Paul talks about Timothy having the faith that was first in his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. That those are probably the first people he heard the gospel from were his faithful mother and grandmother. And then he had heard the gospel, he had heard the truth, he'd been educated in doctrine, verse 10, from Paul. Paul, as an apostle, had instilled doctrine into Timothy so that he could know the truth. And Paul assured Timothy that his doctrine was not his own, that it had come from God. It's important that we know our sources, that we be able to trace our knowledge that we have learned back through the chain of learning, that what we learn from faithful believers, that they learn from pastors and teachers, that they learn from the apostles and prophets as they studied Scripture, that they got from God. We have to be able to trace our knowledge back to God if we're going to continue in the things that we've learned and be confident that that will help us to live a life of faithfulness. So Timothy ought to be thankful for his mom, for his grandma. He ought to be thankful for the Apostle Paul and others who had invested in him, and that the truth that he'd been educated in came from God, and he could continue in that. I'm thankful today for my mom, my grandmother, my father, who trained me in the ways of righteousness, who told me the truth of God's word that they'd learned from pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets through God's word. I'm thankful for those Sunday school teachers. I had one whose name was Lois, and she was like a grandmotherly figure in grade school that came week after week and taught me and other snotty-nosed kids the truth of God's word. Every class, halfway through class, Mrs. Lois Bent would take a cough drop out of her purse and say, "Now, kids, this isn't candy. This is a cough drop so I can keep teaching." I'm thankful for the lessons I learned from Lois Bent and Sharon Campbell as I grew a little older, and Stephen Mayer, a youth pastor, my dad as my pastor, those in my college and seminary days. I'm thankful for those who have gone before, the faithful believers who have taught others also, those of the past, the D.L. Moody's, the Charles Spurgeon, the Billy Sunday, those who came before them, like John Huss and John Bunyan, William Tyndale and John Wycliffe, Jonathan Edwards, and those who have stood for the faith on whose shoulders we stand, and we continue in what we have learned, knowing of whom we have learned them, that their truths came from the apostles and prophets. Aren't you thankful for those men and women of God like Paul and Peter and James, those apostles and those prophets like David and Moses and others that got their message from God? We know our sources, and so we know that it's safe to continue in what we have learned. This is not a book of human origin. What we continue in, we know of whom we have learned it. And we're thankful for those that have been links in the chain, but we rejoice, we take comfort, we are resolved because of the fact that we know that the truth we have learned comes ultimately from God, whose word cannot be broken. It's important that we know our sources. I was listening to one message. This guy called it a sermon. I'll call it a message. He was talking about a lot of things in our culture and what's going on and what we need to be scared about mostly. And four or five times over the course of this message, he said, he put a point out there, and then he said, this is true. You can read about it online. And here's what you need to be afraid of over here, because this is what's happening, and this is true. You can read about it online. But four or five times before at the very end, he actually did open the Bible and read a couple of verses. You can't believe everything you read online. And kids, as you've come through school and started writing papers and things, your teachers have told you, be careful about your sources, not to cite everything you read online, not to use secondary sources. Or secondary quotations, this person said that other person said, but to go straight to the source. Once in college, I turned in a paper, and when I got it back with critiques, one of the critiques was on the bibliography page after a particular source that I had cited. I'll never forget the teacher wrote in, this particular volume makes a good doorstop. So I got the message that that probably wasn't a very good source to use. Maybe it wasn't scholarly. It was a book he was more familiar with than I was, maybe. But we ought to know our sources and know that we're going straight back to God and what we learn. When someone tries to tell you a different gospel, someone, you come across a video or someone with some materials or a conversation that's different than what you've learned, don't go to the internet. Go back here and find out if what they're saying is true. If I say something that's different from what you've learned, don't take my word for it. Go back to God's word and see, what does this really say? Beautiful words that we anchor our faith in verses 16 and 17, where the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, mature, thoroughly furnished, completely equipped unto all good works. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means that God breathed out the exact words that he wanted men to write. That it's not the men that were inspired, it was the writings that were inspired. God used human personalities, and each one has their own flavor as you read their books, but God revealed, inspired, preserved, translated, allowed people to translate so that we, people in other countries, people in other ages, could have access to God's word because it is profitable. It's immensely profitable, and it's profitable in four areas. It's profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for reproof, it's profitable for correction, and it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. Those are kind of, I see a progression there, and it starts with the doctrine. Doctrine is for the ignorant. And I don't say that as a derogatory term, like you might call someone ignorant because of something they said or did. Ignorant just means we don't know everything we should know. And so in that sense, we all come to the scripture with a level of ignorance. I need to learn more doctrine. Doctrine is truth. Doctrine is scriptural teaching. Teaching and doctrine, those are interchangeable words. And so it's profitable for teaching, we could say. So as we learn, we have to come to the Bible knowing that it's going to teach us doctrine, right from wrong. What's true? What's true about God? What's true about us? What's true about life? What's true about sin? What's true about what comes after this life? That's all doctrine, truth, that God gives us because he would not have us be ignorant. Doctrine for the ignorant. Second in the progression is reproof for the errant. Reproof is when someone tells you something you did is wrong. Hey, that what you're doing there is wrong. That's reproof. It's like when I walk into the dining room, and there's our third child, Levi. Got a picture of him, and he has got into the case of cupcakes that was on the counter and taken a bite out of each one, and now they're everywhere. And I have to tell him, no, that's wrong. Don't do that. That's reproof. All right, some of us have our hands dirty. Our face is dirty. When we come to the Bible, we need reproof. The third is correction. Correction is telling us how to course correct, to get back on the right track, to forsake that which is wrong. And then finally, instruction in righteousness. This is for the faithful, that now we are taught how to stay on the right path. So do you see the progression there? When it starts with doctrine, hey, here's the truth, then it moves to reproof. Based on that truth, here's where you're wrong. And it moves to correction. Here's how to stop doing what is wrong. And then finally, instruction in righteousness. Here's how to do what is right. The Bible is profitable for all of these things so that the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly equipped to every good work. There's nothing that we need in our spiritual walk that the Bible does not supply. That's a comprehensive list there, from doctrine to reproof to correction to instruction in righteousness. All of these to help us learn for faithfulness so that we can be what? Thoroughly equipped to every good work. That's faithfulness. That's continuing the chain. That's teaching others also. That's doing the work of the ministry. And the Scripture instructs us in that. The Scripture corrects us in that, reproves us in that, educates us in that, so that we can do what's right. Instruction in righteousness. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Some of you are going through or can think back to your driver's training. And as you read that training manual, that's the rules for the road. So now you know, okay, what this sign means, what side of the road I'm supposed to be on, what lane to turn from, and what lane to turn into. That's kind of the doctrine about driving. Then you get into a section about violations, and that's reproof. Hey, you shouldn't be speeding. You shouldn't be rolling through the stop sign. And then there is a section about correction. Maybe about, hey, if you find that you veered off the road, here's how to counter steer. Here's how to get back on track. And then there's instructions for staying on the right course. Here's how to watch ahead. Here's how to watch the lines. Here's how to watch your mirrors. When I was learning how to drive the church bus, I'm thankful for Jeff Mathis and Pastor Wes Rigdon, who helped me on some of those test drives and told me things like, Jeff said, watch your mirrors. Hey, we got those mirrors that stick out funny on the front. If those mirrors are about to hit something, you know the bus is about to hit something. You can also look and see the back of the bus, too, when you watch those mirrors. Or Pastor Rigdon told me, you can watch the lines on the road and know you're not going over. If you can see, for example, maybe those lines are hidden right where your headlight is, that's where you want them to be. Instructions to stay on the right path, which I was very thankful for, because in an 82-passenger van, it feels like you're driving a house down the road, and there's enough crazy drivers and narrow roads in here that gets my heart rate up a little bit. So we need instruction. We need correction, reproof, and doctrine, all those things that the Bible provides for us. Hope that much more important than avoiding going astray on the road, that on the path of life, you are following the guidebook, that you are allowing this book to teach, to train, to reprove, to correct, and to instruct you. Some takeaways to help you with that. Number one, fill your life with Scripture. That's going to sound cliche and something maybe you've heard 100 times you know you're supposed to do, but it's not enough to know what you're supposed to do. That's what the guys who learn but were never able to come to knowledge, they filled their heads with this stuff. They had the doctrine, but they never moved past that. Fill your life with Scripture means there shouldn't be a day that goes by that you don't open God's Word to spend time with Him, that there shouldn't be a week goes by that you haven't taken advantage of multiple opportunities to hear teaching and preaching from God's Word. I talked to one church member here who, by the time they come get here on Sunday morning, they've gotten up early and have heard 4 or 5 sermons before they first come here and hear one in person. That's filling your life with Scripture. We can approach Scripture. This one's going to sound funny, but here's number two. Approach Scripture ignorant, errant, and teachable. Remember, the Bible is profitable for reproof. Well, if you don't see yourself as, it's profitable for doctrine. If you don't see yourself as ignorant, you don't need doctrine. The Bible's profitable for reproof. But if you're already pretty much got things said in your life, you're doing okay, you're a pretty good person, then you don't need reproof. If you're not going to be corrected, if you don't have a teachable spirit, you're going to learn but never come to knowledge of the truth. You're going to learn for selfish reasons and never live in faithfulness. And so we come to Scripture saying, there are things that I'm ignorant of that God wants me to learn today. There are areas of my life that are errant that God wants to correct me of today. There are areas of my life that I need to be taught in, and so I want God's Word to shape me. I want it to be the hyssop that purges my heart. I want it to be the source that cleanses my life, that makes me more like Him, because I don't have things together. I'm not what He wants me to be. He will continue the good work that He started in me day after day, conforming me into the image of Christ, transforming me from glory to glory into what God wants me to be. I open Scripture knowing He's not done with that, that I have a long way to go before He has chipped away those selfish things in me and made me like His Son. Continue in what you have learned. That's the third takeaway. Continue in what you have learned. That's right there out of verse 14. But we need to remember that we're in danger of going down the wrong path. Sin can pull each one of us away from God. No matter how stable you feel you are, we need to be reminded to continue in what you have learned. teens that are going to be going off to college soon, or people that are in workplaces that you're just being bombarded with worldly philosophies, or maybe someone who just has really nagging questions about the Bible. Continue in what you've learned. Don't turn aside. Don't be a castaway. Don't be a shipwreck. This is the truth. And if you turn from this, you'll be like those in verse 9 who are deceiving and being deceived. Continue in what you've learned. Hide God's word in your heart. We know that we ought to be memorizing scripture. It's hard to continue in what you've learned if you can't remember it. So we can memorize scripture. And as Sunday night becomes more of a learn focus, it's our learn service, just as the morning is our worship service. We'll learn new songs on Sunday nights, learn from God's word together, and even learn a verse together. We won't leave you behind, just a verse a month or something like that as we come back together for evening services to help you hide God's word in your heart, to learn for faithfulness. Well, as you open your Bible each day, or as you come each service and we open our Bibles together, God's word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So maybe you can pray this prayer. Lord, I don't know what I should know, so give me doctrine. Lord, I do what I shouldn't do, so give me reproof. Lord, I don't go the way I should go, so give me correction. Lord, I don't do what I should do, so please give me instruction in righteousness.